we were discussing last week. Do you remember, young people? Members are working now. What were we looking at? Sermon on the Mount, yes. What were we looking at, Elizabeth? That's right, we were talking about mercy, weren't we? And if we've received mercy, which we have, which means to be pardoned, to be forgiven, so how much more do we show that towards each other, and particularly your friends, friends at school, some who maybe are not very kind to you, or whatever, you know, just forget it. They've said something cutting, made a remark, forget it. Leave it with the Lord, because it's their problem. And you see, what the enemy wants to do is when you can't be merciful, when you react to what people say, what we don't realise is, if it's not in a forgiving manner, then your reacting means that not only is it their problem, it has now become your problem. You have taken their problem and you've opened the door to the oppression of their problem, and you've taken it also on board. And that is really what the Lord is trying to deliver and keep us from. The Lord forgave. He forgave those that persecuted, because if he didn't forgive, he would then be taking on the sin, all the problems of other people upon himself, and he no longer would be perfect before God, and he would be a sinner himself. Well, of course God can't be. So you see, being merciful, pardoning, forgiving, means that whatever they're saying, whatever they do, you forgive, because God expects us to forgive, and what it's doing is, it's keeping you free from that person's problem. Did you know that Satan puts people's problems on you when you don't forgive? When you don't pardon? That's what it does. And that's why the world is like it is, you see? So God can do that. It may be impossible to man, but it's possible to God. And if you want that, and you ask for that in your life, then the Lord Jesus will do that. Well, let's move on to the next one. What does it say here? Is somebody going to read that out to us? Huh? Somebody going to read that for us? Eh? Yes, would you read that for us?
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Ah, right. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, on this one, most would say today, that's not pretty cool. Who wants to be pure? You know, who wants to be pure? We want to be like the rest. We want to follow like the rest of the world and get up to what they get up to and so forth. Oh, don't talk maybe about being pure. You know, that just isn't cool. But the point is that we are to be pure. So what is our understanding of purity? Have you any idea what that word might be? Any idea what that word purity might mean?
Not tainted.
Not tainted? Any other thoughts about purity? Any ideas? Yes?
Being clean.
Being clean, that's right. Being clean. Now, how do we become clean before God? Do we take 3 showers a day? Wash our hair 4 times a day? Scrub our teeth 8 times a day? Is that what God expects us to be clean, to be pure? Is that what he's expecting? Huh? Is that what he wants? No, you're saying no. Aren't you glad? Hey, aren't you glad it's not the crime? Hey? We never do anything. We have to keep doing all of that all day long. But there are some people who are bound by that. Did you know that? There are some people who are actually bound because they think outwardly they can try and keep themselves pure and clean. And some try and put themselves into religious order. Do you know what I mean by religious order? Any idea what I'm saying there? Yes? Yes, you can have that. Religious order, one of the things that's coming to my mind, there are many forms of religious order, but of course what we recognise and understand in this country are those who become nuns or monks. Have you ever seen a nun or a monk? Huh? Have you said, well, when I was at school, we were a church school, and periodically, occasionally, we would get nuns coming, and sometimes we'd go to a retreat where we'd go to a monastery. So did you know I've been to a monastery several times? I've seen what monks do. And nuns used to go to that. And I was always struck by the cleanliness of the place and how peaceful it was. But of course, looking back, it was false. Now, does God want us to become nuns and monks if we're believers? To live in an order, to live together with other people in a strict discipline, up at 5 a.m. for prayer, you know, and not allowed to drink, you have to wear a similar uniform, they call it a habit. Would you like that life? Huh? Why not? Why wouldn't you like to live that? Eh? Why wouldn't you like to live that? Any ideas? Why wouldn't you like to live that? In other words, it doesn't allow you to be free, which is very interesting, many points, but doesn't allow us to free. Isn't it wonderful that God says he can make us pure in heart, and yet he doesn't restrict us in the sense that man will do. See, man thinks by being religious, by putting himself away in these orders, that he can keep pure and tainted from the world. So where does God work purity then? How does he work that purity in us?
Yes. The Holy Spirit.
He works it by the Holy Spirit. And where does that Holy Spirit work this in our lives? Where does he work it? Any idea? Any idea, Robert? You're very quiet here.
In the heart.
In the heart. Is that what you were going to say? That's right. He works it in here. So he changes this. You see, the point is that we can come to church, or you can decide to become a nun or a monk, but you can still lust in your heart for those things out in the world. And because you try and run away from it, doesn't mean to say you're free from it. So only God can change that heart. And as he changes the heart, what we call it, he's doing a pure work. It's purity. Because he's pure, so he makes us pure. And it's a work, as you said, by the Holy Spirit. And so, if we want that, and the Holy Spirit's doing that work, then what's the promise? What's the promise for those with a pure heart? What's the promise? Eh? What's the promise, Stella? If we have a pure heart, what's the promise? You're not going to go quiet on me now, are you? You don't normally. Show the right one, man. What is the promise? That we'll be with God. There we are. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
Yes, we're going to be with God. So the pure in heart are going to be with God. Now, isn't that wonderful that God can work that purity in your heart, and you've got a free will because you desire and you want that, and God says, because you'll have that, you will see me. But if you lust for the world and you want the world and you try and want God as well at the same time and try and be Christian and religious, then it won't work. We have a name that we call that with those people who do that. Do you know what the name is? Do you know what we call them? For those who pretend to be Christians but they're not really. What do we call them? Yes, certainly. A lot of them Unfortunately, yeah, but there's a name that we call for anybody in Catholic. It could be even called here in this church. It could even be me. It could even be you. So it only takes the grace and mercy of God. So what's that word that we call someone? What do we call them?
Hypocrites.
That's it. Hypocrites. Hypocrisy. Now, Jesus called a group in his day hypocrites. Who were they? Do you remember? The Pharisees, yes. They outwardly appeared to have it all right. But the Lord saw through that, and he saw that their hearts were not pure before God. And he called them hypocrites. So, there we are. That's another one of the Beatitudes, or as really what it is, it's what it means to be a disciple, to walk a disciple of Christ, and they are the principles.